When you think of Lamar Jackson, the two-time MVP, do you think of him as an all-time great passer? Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Pearl, we know Lamar, obviously, beyond talented, elite in so many ways, broke Michael Vick's career rushing yards record last year, but has really turned himself into a really, really, really good passer. But will he be remembered as an elite passer because of all of his other gifts?
Yeah, I mean, I see what you're saying. That could take away from him. But you can't deny the elite passer. Last season, incredible season, 41 touchdowns, four picks, 119.6 passer rating, which is fourth all-time, two Aaron Rodgers seasons and one incredible Peyton Manning season are the only ones to rate higher. So numbers-wise, yes, his passing numbers are definitely historic.
Yeah, I don't think Lamar is going to get there in people's minds until he puts together a full and complete postseason run where the passing is elite. And unfortunately for Lamar, you're that good. That's what people are going to judge you on. He has not yet put together that postseason run, and his passer rating in the postseason compared to the regular season is markedly worse. So he is has a below average passer rating in the postseason. And so, you know, there are games and there have been playoff games where he has not thrown a passing touchdown. Now, listen, you win a game however you win it. Tom Brady won a Super Bowl not throwing a passing touchdown. I get it. But Brady also has some of the most clutch moments that we have in postseason history. Lamar doesn't have that either. So there's nothing to fall back on there. It's just in terms of the postseason.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying, but it's trending in the right way. He's improved a lot, and I think that was Coach John Harbaugh's point is now is last year he actually went his passer rating in the playoffs is 122.5 compared to 119. His QBR went up to 84.8. I think he led all passers because he was pretty fire in the playoffs. I mean, he was great obviously against Pittsburgh. They just destroyed them. And when finally he turned it on against your Bills, that was scary.
Too late, though.
That was scary. It definitely was too late. But that, you know what? Mark Andrews doesn't lose his footing, then maybe we're not having the same discussion.
So here is John Harbaugh. To me, felt like he had to defend Lamar Jackson as far as his passing acumen. He's on the This Is Football podcast.
He is a historically good passer. And that's really quite a statement because of the narrative that's been surrounding him ever since the beginning. Lamar Jackson can throw the football. He can throw it every kind of way. He can make every kind of throw, any kind of way you want. He's as good as any guy, any passer that there's ever been. And I think now the numbers are proving that.
I mean, as good as any passer has ever been, maybe you want to say he's trending into being that company, but I don't think he's there yet. And let's not forget, he did have to overcome a pretty big narrative, including Hall of Fame general manager Bill Polling saying that he should have been a wide receiver.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, every coach is going to say nice things about their quarterback.
Yeah.
So you have to take it always with a grain of salt. But you could put last year's passing against anybody. Part of it is connected to the running because I think the defense is always has to worry about Lamar Jackson as a runner. And last year, they had to worry about Derrick Henry as a runner. So you got these two real weapons of the running game made it easier. I will give you that.
Yeah.
Like, it is as easy as could be. But Lamar, you always think, oh, Lamar's not going to make a play here with his arm. He's not going to make a play here with his arm. Then, boom, 30 yards downfield, strike.
Yeah, but are we seeing that in the playoffs enough? Because that's what you always tell me about. You're always dubious of running quarterbacks winning Super Bowls.
Well, I know, but I think he's going to. That has changed over time. Now it seems like more mobile quarterbacks, Mahomes and Hurts, are winning Super Bowls. Back in the day, it was all Mannings and Bradys and the pocket guys. And again, Lamar was pretty good. Honestly, you're not going to like this, Maggie. I think they only lost because the field was so slippery against Buffalo. And Josh Allen is also very good. Like, Josh Allen's a monster on a cold field because he's so big. But if they played in a dome, I think the Ravens would have won that game. I'm not saying that that's a good thing for Lamar Jackson's legacy, but the reality is, if you give them good weather conditions, Lamar is very close to perfect as a quarterback.
EJ, can you throw it up on the poll? Will Lamar Jackson be remembered as an elite passer of this generation? We have a poll question up there. Who has more pressure to win a Super Bowl, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, where Josh Allen is actually, air quotes, winning this poll or losing?
Yeah, whatever. I mean,
he's got 53% of the vote that he has more pressure.
No huge surprise because they both have a lot of pressure. The Bills, as EJ pointed out, have gotten a lot closer. I think that adds to the pressure.
Yeah, see, I would think it would almost, well, I get it adds, but in some ways when it take away, at least Josh Allen has had some really great postseason games. We have not seen a wire-to-wire great postseason game yet from Lamar Jackson. Like, no, we have like against the Texans or whatever, but not when it's been against one of the top teams.
No, you're right about that. But also, Josh Allen is carrying the Bills mafia on his shoulders, where Lamar franchise has a Super Bowl ring. So that actually adds pressure.
And they've got
if
two.
You're looking at that poll in a vacuum, you would say, oh my gosh, Josh Allen's got to finally break this streak. He is the chosen one to deliver a title to you, Maggie Gray. So I think that adds to the pressure.
Let's get to, you're welcome to weigh in on that, 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Will Lamar Jackson be remembered as one of the great passers, not great athletes, great talents? Of course he is. He's a two-time MVP. Passer yet? I don't know. And the thing is, too, about regular season stats, do you guys feel like we're going in a direction where they're just getting, I don't say more and more watered down? It's not that. But we know that the game is being made, air quotes, safer, and that has generally benefited the quarterbacks. So sometimes these stats kind of feel like, you know, they're just going to, the numbers are just going to keep getting bigger and bigger and more gaudy. I don't know if we're putting much like into, oh, he threw for this many yards. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. I know what you mean. Like, of course.
Like, Lamar won an MVP without throwing for 4,000 yards.
Right.
He won two.
But I think Lamar clearly had statistically far and away the best season last year. I mean, it wasn't. It's funny that
but he didn't win the MVP.
Which is, well, that was just because he'd already won two and he hadn't won a Super Bowl. But that was by a mile because he still ran for 900 yards and threw 41 touchdowns and threw for 4,200 yards.
And only five picks. Four picks, excuse me.
Yeah, I mean, and Josh Allen had his worst year statistically. He went way down numbers-wise because they decided to hand the ball off. But they were just like, there's nothing you can do, Lamar Jackson. We're not giving you three MVPs without a Super Bowl.
Well, also, Josh Allen, I think, did more with less. That was also one of the arguments for him finally getting that first MVP.
Yeah, but it was, I mean, honestly, he could have done, at a certain point, they're like, we're just not giving it to Lamar. I think you even said, coming into that decision, I think you were kind of leaning Lamar.
I thought he had a great case. I thought Joe Burrow had a great case.
Yeah.
But they didn't make the playoffs, and you can't get the award if you're not going to win at least 12 or 13 games. I don't put Lamar, as far as great passers of all time, I can't put him there yet. I can't. I got to see him be better in the postseason. And I got to see him put up numbers like this a little bit more often. He statistically has more seasons as a pro with a below average passer rating than above average.
What if this trend continues, though? What if he goes up another 10% this year? What does that season look like? That looks like Peyton Manning throwing 55 touchdowns.
Then he'll win another MVP. Okay, let's get to our one big question about a different quarterback.
I feel so lucky to be the quarterback.
It's the position everyone wishes they could play.
Why can't I be quarterback, huh?
Sit down and shut up.
But it's not for the faint at heart.
Quarterbacks are premium.
I think those things add up to make it quarterbacking the toughest job in sports.
Maggie and Perloff answer one big question about the quarterback.
All right, EJ, who are we focusing in on today?
All right, we wrap up the AFC with the New England Patriots. Let's talk about one Drake May. Big season coming up. They just added Stephon Diggs. Will Drake May throw for 4,000 yards in his second year in the NFL?
4,000? That's the number we're doing? He's going to do that in his sleep.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my God. He is Justin Herbert 2.0. He is about to throw us a lot of empty calories. I think he did not have big numbers last year, and he does not have a great receiving core. But I would be very surprised if he didn't hit a 4K. Because you know who he reminds me so much of is Justin Herbert.
Yeah. The one thing about Justin Herbert, though, he actually was playing against, I think, much better defenses. The Patriots have one of the easiest schedules this year, which makes me think he could do it. But gosh, I look at this receiving core. Let's just say Stephon Diggs even does stay healthy for a full season, which I don't know if you have the evidence. You know, he's coming off of an injury season. Kayshon Boutte? Okay.
Remember what a big recruit Kayshon Boutte was?
Absolutely. LSU. Wasn't he coming into like right after Justin Jefferson?
But then he got
Jamar
in trouble,
Chase?
Right? Remember we had a huge controversy? I remember we did a show about Kayshon Boutte. But
that
anyway,
was in the afternoon show. Yeah. Mac Hollins, you know, who we love. But, you know, is he really going to add to your volume of receiving yards? Kendrick Bourne? I don't know if he has the right receiving core to do it. And can I also add one more thing? I don't think Mike Vrabel wants to play this that way. You know, Mike Vrabel, who was his offensive coordinator for many years in Tennessee?
Arthur Smith.
And what do we know about Arthur Smith?
Well, no, I mean, I think it's Vrabel. He does not want to throw the ball.
Yeah, but what have we seen with Arthur Smith even with Pittsburgh?
Yeah, no, he will not. He's not going to be an aggressive downfield passer.
Exactly. So I think they're still going to try to maybe, I don't know if they're slow playing this Drake May thing, which is fine. You got him. You know, I don't think anyone's thinking they need to be a playoff team this year. Maybe Robert Kraft, but which, you know, his opinion would matter. But I just think with the offense that maybe Mike Vrabel wants to run, it's Josh McDaniels bringing along a young quarterback. I don't know if they're going to force the issue.
No, it's kind of funny. This number, 4,000 yards, it reminded me of my thought of the movie Austin Powers when Dr. Evil goes $1 million, like 4,000 yards. I feel like every quarterback should get 4,000 yards. But last year, I thought Caleb Williams would become the first 4,000-yard passer for the Bears ever. And he didn't do it.
Nope.
And last year, there were very few 4,000-yard passers. The year before that, almost the entire league got to 4K. So it just doesn't seem like a gaudy number. And let's face it, last year he was still learning. He was pretty raw. He'd be coming out of North Carolina. I think he's going to make a huge jump. Played 13 games last year at 2,200 yards. So I think it's not going to be that hard for him if he's healthy to get to 4,000.
888-710-4ISN. EJ, you want to weigh in on Drake May?
I think the offensive coordinator is going to be the interesting thing because we know how Vrabel is, but I mean, Josh McDaniels, when he's been the Patriots OC, has had some pretty prolific offensive passing.
Yeah, with Tom Brady.
Especially with Tom Brady, yeah. Right? He made Mac Jones look okay even. So I'll be curious if this happens, but I agree. I think the receiving core is going to make this hard. I don't know if they're a team that maybe they're in the Terry McLaurin sweepstakes, or if they're going to be trying to get a guy at the trade deadline, if they're somewhat close to contention. I think it's going to be hard for him. And I think there's still some jury out on Drake May. I think a lot of people
really?
Are just, I think they're just going full all in. I get it. He showed some good flashes, but I think he turned the ball over a little bit. I want to see a little more before I'm all in.
Oh my God. You are going against the grain with that one because
sure.
The world on social media is so in love with this guy. I can't remember a young quarterback with this much hype. Because Jaden Daniels did it last year, so he's not hyped. Everyone thinks that Drake May, I would say he's more hyped.
Caleb Williams had a lot of hype.
No, I know, but I think right now people have higher expectations of Drake May than Caleb Williams. Is that fair to say? I think a lot of people think that if the Bears could do it again, they would take Daniels and May over Caleb. I'm almost sure of that.
But we haven't seen Caleb Williams yet with an offensive coordinator that anyone likes.
No, I know. Maybe it's a mistake, but I'm getting that vibe out there that people are higher on Drake May.
888-710-4ISN. All right, there you go.
Everybody knows the quarterback.
Drake May is a 4,000-yard passer. Thumbs up, thumbs down. And will Lamar Jackson be remembered as an all-time great passer? Not athlete, not runner, not, I don't know, MVP. He's not a champion. It's a big hole in his resume right now. Again, you can weigh in. Coming up, oh, man. Last night's Hall of Fame game, you didn't have to watch it to be in on this conversation. It was almost like seeing ghosts at times.
Football!
Couldn't remember that this guy actually played. And it got us thinking about the person who was so highly touted coming out of high school, Perloff, that just never really made it even on the college level. Interesting conversation coming your way next. X's and O's and like what, like, rah, 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 football.
Welcome back to the Maggie and Perloff Show. Have to be honest, didn't catch it all, but I guess DJ Alungalele got into the game last night for the Chargers.
Wait, what?
DJ Alungalele? Wait, you guys say it.
Uyunglele, you know?
Oh, Uyunglele? I can't remember. It's Alungalele.
Yeah, closer,
it's
yeah.
Not ukulele.
Alungalele.
It's not that bad.
Uyunglele?
Like nope. Trump yesterday pronouncing Tua Tagovailoa's last name.
You know, I'm close personal friends with Big Dave, his dad.
You should probably know how to pronounce their last
name.
Big Dave
nobody
Uyunglele?
In a million
no,
years.
Nobody does?
Honestly, I've been around him a few times. Nobody uses his last name.
No, why would you?
Did I pull a Trump on Twitter? But that wasn't that bad. I've done worse.
The visual of your second try was tough.
DJ.
I didn't need that.
See, I should have stayed up to get help on that.
So we went 2 for 3 for 25 yards, no touchdowns, no interceptions.
Who, ukulele?
Yeah.
Oh, come on. You guys, get out of here. Like, you guys have all mastered that name. Get out of here.
No, we just didn't say it.
Well, I know.
No, you were very nervous earlier this week, though, about Eugenio Suarez. Yeah. That one kept you up for a while. But just call him Gino, like everyone else.
Or you could have talked to me. I could have given you some pointers.
Manny, are a lot of people named Eugenio?
No.
Yeah, there is a. There's
I look for famous Eugenios that came up
Eugenio with. Eugenio Derbez is a Mexican actor, but that's probably the only other one that I know.
Yeah.
What roles is he famous for?
Comedy. He's a comedy guy.
Oh, got it.
Oh, yeah. Eugenio.
So I don't feel bad about that one.
Eugenio.
No, listen, it happens. Some of these are really hard to pronounce. Yeah. But you want to bring up GJU. Let's not get sidetracked here because of another reason.
Yes. By the way, Chris Russo makes about $7 million a year and can't say any name. Mad Dog on ESPN. Oh, we're talking about... So DJU was on the Netflix quarterback documentary in high school. What's the name? He played in one of the famous LA high schools. And looked like he was going to be an all-time player. Then Trevor Lawrence got hurt or got COVID. I can't remember. DJU came in and lit it up his freshman year. Everyone was sure he was going to be a number one overall kind of pick. People were considering tanking for him. Then he did not play well at Clemson, went to Florida State and had a historically bad... Actually, sorry, there was an Oregon State stop in there. And then went to Florida State and had a historically bad year. I can't remember a flame out off the top of my head that was worse for a highly touted quarterback.
It's such an interesting question because we've talked a lot about guys who are great college players that didn't make it to the pros, right? Who never really lived up to it. But the high school players, I was thinking of the guy. There's been a couple USC quarterbacks, I feel like, who would definitely fit this discussion. But who was the guy from Notre Dame? Christ?
Oh,
Dane Crist was in my head for a second.
Well, I thought of Paul Crist, but
No. Yeah. Dane Crist. Didn't he take over for Jimmy Clausen? And it was expected that he was going to be the next big guy. And I thought he was really highly touted out of high school. But I feel like a couple USC guys maybe fit this,
you know,
moniker.
I think the closest to DJU, I said this to you last night, Christian Hackenberg, because he was another guy, incredible freshman year,
we
and
are.
Just totally fell apart.
Yeah.
At Penn State.
Well,
and
that's
then
because
was
Bill
even worse
O'Brien
than the pros.
Left, right?
Yeah. It seemed like more than that. Like, even with Bill O'Brien leaving, his skills diminished so fast. Still a second-round pick. So better than DJU. But then he did nothing in the pros. Went to spring leagues and couldn't even excel there. Any other names? Obviously, there are a lot of five-stars who don't end up being good.
Yeah, Dane Crist was the number one pro-style quarterback in the 2008 class. Mm. You earned some time as a sophomore following the departure of Jimmy Clausen, but then couldn't get it going, and Tommy Reese ended up taking his job.
You guys remember Tate Martell?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, Tate Martell is, I mean, he got famous enough that I think that he's in a different category all to himself.
No, right. But I mean, that was a guy, he was supposed to be a big deal.
Yeah.
He transferred to Miami eventually, and he couldn't get on the field. He was playing wide receiver by the time his career was over.
Mitch Mustaine, I think. Do you guys remember him from Arkansas? Oh, yeah. They got off to this really great start. They were like 8-0 start. Then he transferred to USC, and he was behind Mark Sanchez and Matt Barkley, and I don't think ever really got a shot again. Interesting.
EJ mentioned this one yesterday. I saw Brock Berlin was the true. Like, he was like Trevor Lawrence, and that really did not work at
all. Yeah, he was behind Rex Grossman, and he couldn't beat Rex Grossman out, even though he was a massive recruit. He got transferred to Miami. They thought this was going to be the next dynasty after Ken Dorsey, and he beat Florida in a game, and that was the best thing we got from Brock Berlin. He was not a good Miami quarterback.
You know who the one who jumps to mind now? Where is Malachi Nelson?
Yeah.
Was a 5-star.
Yep.
And he has not even looked close. And now did he transfer? I'm seeing UTEP. I know he tried Boise and it didn't really do much. And you actually look at him on the field, you're like, that guy was a 5-star?
You know what's funny though? I'm wondering, you know, DJU had to play in a couple different colleges and that was, you know, was in the Hall of Fame game last night. We were like, hey, DJU. He was so highly touted in high school and then had a flash at Clemson, but then it's gone downhill. The fact that guys can just play forever, I mean, make a ton of money, even if you have to bounce around a little bit, do you think we're going to see fewer of these types of stories? Because, you know, you can still make money at, you know, you're going to be you're going to get paid something at Sacramento State and at UTEP. It's not like you're playing there for free.
Well, what do you mean? But that doesn't mean you're going to make the pros when you say
but you
these
could,
stories.
It, maybe the stories don't seem as sometimes tragic because guys would be five stars coming out of high school and you're like envisioning all these riches and like this great. Well, you might just be a middling college quarterback could set you up for life now. Well,
yeah, and DJU's probably got paid a ton.
You know, you just come along at the right time and at least you're not leaving empty handed. Like, you know, I know guys are getting $100 handshakes and stuff under the table, but now you can make real money and you could just be like a middle of the road college quarterback. You play at three different spots for 6 different years.
You know, also, too, that extended life can give you a second chance. Like, Bo Nix was a massive prospect coming into Auburn and totally flamed out and got a second chance to play because of the transfer portal. How many years did he play? Five?
He might have played six years.
So you could even get a second chance at the pros.
Yeah, you're right. Playoffs last year.
It is a better situation. But I do feel like the five stars are just as overhyped as always. Like, that kind of feels like the rule that... Because they're 18 years old. Like, we have no idea. Like, Juju Lewis is the big recruit, right? That Deion got at Colorado. I really feel like we have no idea how good an 18-year-old player. I think he might be 17.
How about Arch? Wasn't Arch a five-star?
He's at least got the last name, though.
I'm just saying, like, are we going to see Arch live up to the five-star moniker, let alone his last name?
Oh,
I mean, this guy's got tons of pressure.
But... I would take that bet. Yeah, Arch I'm not so worried about for some reason. Because he's big, too. The other time, these guys don't always fill out. Like, Malachi Nelson weighs less than Manny. I mean, yeah, I think it's hard to predict 17-year-olds.
I'm overweight.
Feeling it? Feeling a little heavy?
That's what, you know, science says, but...
Oh, your BMI?
Yeah, correct. Yeah.
Body mass index?
I mean, and you know who we have to watch this year is also Julian Say in Ohio State. Like, he seems to be like, that could be a five-star who doesn't play well. We have no idea. Because even Ohio State, it seems like there's a real quarterback battle going on despite that five-star rating.
Yeah, at first I thought maybe Ryan Day was being just kind of coy about it, and maybe you don't want to, you know, tip your hand, and, you know, you're starting off the season with this big bang and of a game, right, against Texas, right? Maybe you want to just hold this close to the vest. Now I'm thinking they really have a quarterback competition.
Yeah.
I think they really don't know who's going to start.
One other really current one, Connor Wegman at Texas A&M. That guy had all the hype in the world, and whoa. Sorry, I mean, is he on a team now? I don't know what happened.
Yeah, he is. Houston, maybe?
I think so.
Yeah.
But he was a guy who came in with, like, number one overall pick kind of expectations and just did not deliver.
Who was that guy for you, the five-star high school guy who never really had it happen in college? 888-710-4ISN. Hot take a little bit about Manny saying he's feeling overweight or feeling a little sluggish. I know most people say you lose weight in the summer and you gain weight in the winter. I kind of feel like that's not right. Don't you find when you're in the summer, you're out more, barbecues, ice cream, beer, if you're into that? Like, I feel like I gained more weight in the summer.
Oh, but you sweat it right off. I completely disagree.
To sweat like that.
Just walk down the street now, you'll lose 3 pounds.
Maybe that's a man-woman thing. We don't lose weight that easily.
I don't think it's a calendar thing. I just am slowly getting fatter. It doesn't really matter.
No, you're not.
Fatten up like a Christmas goose.
Those charts are not complimentary to me either. Those height, weight.
They are shocking.
Formulas and the BMI.
Really,
no thanks.
Not really good for your mental health, no.
The BMI is like a jump scare. It's like, oh, whoa.
Yep.
Matt, you're the most in shape person in the room, though.
No, I'm just like the woman, so I'm a little smaller.
No, that's not true.
But in shape to fight.
No, no.
I think I could
Pro-loss
outrun
in shape.
You could outrun her, yes.
Manny goes to the gym every day.
Maggie's fitter looking. I agree with that.
The rest of us visually don't do much.
It's all an illusion, everybody.
Yeah, this is why we're on radio.
poll question. Do you gain more weight in the winter or the summer? I think people would say winter, but sneaky summer.
I'm going to save you the labor of that one. That is not going to work out for
Well, the holidays... You know,
don't help.
They don't help.
You're indoor. I put the ball up. Let's see. Maybe it'll be a shocking result.
So much ice cream in the summer.
Beer.
Ice cream and beer.
Yeah. Have another barbecue. Go to another outdoor brewery. Like, this is what let's go to a Yankee game. Go to a Yankee game.
I think this is one of those takes where Maggie's on an island and doesn't realize she's on an island.
It's possible.
No, I'm not going to lie. I feel a little lazy this summer. I felt a lot lazier this summer than I did during the winter. And I think there's a direct correlation in the LBs category.
Yeah. Oh, really? So you're with Maggie. Okay.
Low key, yeah, a little bit.
I also have more things going on now, which is taking away from the time I would fake work out.
Exactly.
Like your faux workout?
Yeah.
The problem is you can't run in the winter. You can't run outside in the winter. So joggers are definitely...
Treadmills, baby. Treadmills.
Mm. I'm on the treadmill 100 times more in the winter.
Mag's got one in her bedroom or something like that.
All right.
It's a clothes hanger right now. We're not even using it.
Maybe I'll be shocked by it. I would be more shocked if winter won this poll than any poll we've done in a long, long time.
Because also in the winter, you're trying to get that summer bod. You're trying to make sure you're looking good for the summer so you can pig out in the summer and, you know, feel bad about yourself by the time September rolls around.
That sweater bod, dude.
Yeah, sweater
bod. You can hide it all in the winter.
Yeah, hoodies are forgiving. Definitely. Sweater bod 365, 7 days, you know.
Sweater bod. I've heard of dad bod, lots of
same,
bods.
Same.
Sweater bod. All right, folks, what's going on?
Well, Deebo Samuel is a Commander, partly because he and the Niners couldn't agree on his value into the future, so he knows the fight that new teammate Terry McLaurin is going through right now in Washington.
Whenever, you know, the situation get handled, you know, I've been there, so I don't too much get into it with, like, you know, all that. But eventually I know he's going to be out here, and, you know, me and Terry came in the same draft class, so I always seen what he was capable of and, you know, kept up with him.
Yeah, Deebo was on Up and Adams yesterday. His optimism might be a little misguided, with reports now saying that McLaurin has asked for a trade. He and the team still far apart on that extension. McLaurin did report to camp on Sunday, but hasn't stepped on the practice field yet. Trey Hendrickson doing the same thing in Cincinnati with no new deal in sight there either. So we don't have any more holdouts this summer, but how many more trade requests are we going to get?
Don't look at me.
Put that poll question on.
Trey Hendrickson requested a trade a long time ago, though.
And then showed up and then said, I want to stay here. So I don't. Is that request still there?
You know what I think is a more interesting question? Are the teams possibly in the right in these situations because you don't want to pay too much for an older player? That seems like such a Patriots way, and that fueled their dynasty forever. They let go of everybody who was near 30 except for Tom Brady.
So I think you can be in the right in deciding that there's a ceiling to what you're going to pay these guys, but they also now, to me at least, like the Bengals specifically, have lost leverage in trading Hendrickson.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, they're not going to get the best possible package for him now, I don't think, unless somebody has, like, a catastrophic training camp injury or something like that. But everybody knows that they're in this staring contest, and you've got to pay Hendrickson now. So who's going to do them a favor and give them an overpay for Hendrickson at this point?
You know, it's funny. I feel like people would overpay for Terry McLaurin before Trey Hendrickson.
I think I'd agree with that.
Which is weird.
Maybe a mistake.
Well, just said, is Terry McLaurin taking that screen pass to the house? He looked like he could got jets at 30.
He's nice. I love Terry McLaurin. Yeah. I think pass rush are over receiver. Like, for me, if I'm, ranking what positions are most premium.
Without a doubt. I'm just trying to think if they, the way that the NFL is set up, it's really not that, like, there's not really this crazy incentive for the team to trade a guy when he still has it, or let him walk to free agency, right? Like, the Cavaliers let LeBron James go to free agency in the decision. It's just devastating, right? Because you don't get anything back in return. I don't know if the NFL is set up, has that same feel. You could just let these guys play the last year of their deal and then get them, if you're not going to get a great value coming back anyway, you might as well just have them play out the final year.
Right, but they don't want to play out.
Right,
I also think you call their bluff because I don't think guys sit out. Le'Veon Bell did it, and that was more about the franchise tag. Yeah. Guys don't sit out.
I mean, listen, there is some urgency there with Trey Hendrickson because it is the middle of summer in Cincinnati. He's probably putting on weight at a rapid pace.
Look out. Be careful.
That's going to call back, people.
Do you gain more weight in the summer or the winter?
Call Trey. All right. We just saw Trey Hendrickson on the TV screen above us. He's doing fine.
Yeah, I know.
He looks like he has been working out quite a bit.
As if it's winter.
Little Holden. Yeah.
Meanwhile, there was football last night, the preseason beginning as usual with the Hall of Fame game in Canton. And as usual, it wasn't necessarily pretty, especially for
football.
The Lions. Dan Campbell's second, third, and fourth stringers committing 5 turnovers.
The story of the game is we turned it over 5 times and then we didn't get any takeaways. So that's hard, just from that standpoint, when you put your defense in that kind of position, man, that's tough.
3 picks, 2 fumbles by the Lions, and what became a 34-7 loss to the Chargers, who got 2 touchdown passes from Trey Lance. Through 7 innings last night in Cincinnati, the Braves and Reds were playing a normal baseball game, tied at 3, And then they played like Manny was texting after too many beers at Sunday's Yankees game.
There's a 1-2 to Murphy. And he'll swing and send one deep down the left field line, hooking into the corner. Coming in to score, Ozuna. Ozzy hits the bag at third, runs into a red light there. RBI double. And the Braves continue to pound the Reds.
8 runs in the top of the 8th inning for Atlanta. But unfortunately for them, there was a bottom of the 8th.
The 0-1. Swing, and there's fly ball. Well hit. Deep left. And it's gone! I don't believe it! This game is tied! A 3-run home run from Spencer Steer, and the Reds have answered the Braves 8 in the 8th.
Yeah, that game was drunk.
Only the third time ever that each team scored 8 or more runs in the same inning. Altogether, 5 pitchers gave up those runs on 16 hits. The Braves eventually won the game 12-11-10 on a sacrifice fly.
Ew.
The most exciting play in sports, the yes. sacrifice fly.
Hey, that's a bunt or a punt inside the 5.
The Knicks have signed Mikal Bridges to a 4-year extension worth $150 million, and the Valkyries won the only WNBA game last night, 68-67, over the Mystics, despite scoring just 6 points in the fourth quarter. Guys, back to you.
We were asking this question last night, and we will do this next, about the trade deadline in Major League Baseball was just insane yesterday, right? Guys just switching teams, felt unprecedented the amount of movement. Is it actually going to make the product better and more watchable for the home stretch? You can noodle on that for a second. Okay. Think about it. We'll get back to it in just a moment. Plus, more football, including we're handing out some NFL superlatives. Who is the best coach in both the pros and college? Get to that next.
Back.
Welcome back to the Megan Perloff Show. Fun trade deadline yesterday. Obviously, you know, Rich getting a little bit richer here. Teams really trying to go all in, not so much with big names, but definitely with depth, Pearl. And I know you were impressed with what the San Diego Padres did yesterday.
Oh, my God. They are so aggressive, right? Like, the thing that impressed me about the Padres is they don't seem to care about market size. Like, they're not going to just let LA and New York. This has been, how long has this been going on that they've been these big spenders? They also, I was reading about the prospects they've given up over the last several years to go all in. I know Trey Turner was, or at least the GM, he's such a trade the picks guy. I'm not sure if they were all out of San Diego, but Trey Turner and about 9 other all-stars were dealt 4 veteran players. And I kind of like that San Diego sticks to their philosophy, right? Like, they're not, you know, half, you know, wetting it.
Yeah, right.
They're going all in on this. So
far,
I can't help but like
though.
It. But it's worked, well.
I mean, as far as
winning
a World
Series. As far as a championship.
Yeah, right. So, but if you're going to be an all-in team, so I can't tell you that I'm like, you know, Miss Baseball, like scouting pipeline farm system, but Leo DeVries, I hope I'm saying his name right, is the 18-year-old that they gave up to get Mason Miller and to get J.P. Sears. And so this is supposed to be the guy. Now, you can always say, listen, we'll bet on having an all-star like Miller and Sears. They also got another all-star and a first baseman, D.H. Ryan O'Hearn, Ramon Laureano, Freddie Fermin.
Cortez.
They added Nasty Nestor. But for Mason Miller and J.P. Sears, they did trade away who many believe is going to be like the next big shortstop phenom.
Yeah, I know, but still, tell me you're not excited about this team. What do you have to do to beat the Dodgers? I mean, the Dodgers have a dream team, basically. So I would do it, too. I'd be all in as a fan. Here's, by the way, a list of who their GM is trading away. Trey Turner, James Wood. Oh, my God. Max Fried, Mackenzie Gore, C.J. Abrams, Zach Elflett. Oh, my God. They're like 9 different all-stars in the last 10 years. So, yeah, but they still have a good team. I would go all in as a baseball fan. As a fan, right? Like, you can't tell me you're going to be smart and look at it logically.
No, but I'm not expecting that, you know, of course you're going to prioritize the present. But, you know, again, like, it hasn't worked. I'm not advocating, or we want to do air quotes, what does it work? You're always in the mix, right? I guess at some point, don't you also have to say, all right, this is the talent that we have, and I'm not going to sacrifice the future when I already have a roster that is very talented. And baseball seems like the biggest crapshoot maybe of all the postseasons. I don't know. But I don't know if the fans are getting a little sick of this, like watching more talent go out the door.
Yeah, but you know how it is with prospects. We see it so often where the prospects are very variable. That's the thing about trade deadlines. You always hear about these high-end prospects. A lot of times it doesn't work out. Also,
I mean, you just named all the people that...
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of other prospects they traded away who didn't work out. Can we talk about Mason Miller, too? He's 26. Throws the ball, what, 10-something?
Yeah.
He's pretty young, too. He feels almost like a prospect himself. I would
all-star.
Nobody's asking me to grade the MLB trade deadline, or maybe you for that matter, but I'm still giving the Padres an A. And I kind of, this team is fun. You know, I've already declared the Dodgers as my second team behind the Philadelphia Phillies, and you guys were mad at me for that.
Yeah, we will never not be mad at you about that.
That's right.
It makes no sense.
Well, if Shohei keeps flirting with an injury, I might jump to the Padres.
Again, it still doesn't work. The math doesn't math there. You can't jump from one NL team to another NL team.
No. If they're on different sides of the country, it is allowed.
Are they not allowed to play each other in the postseason?
Well, the Phillies beat the Padres in the postseason. That's where we got that famous song from. Where the
Call Your Girlfriend?
No, with the Padres.
Oh,
yeah.
Sorry for the Padres part.
Padres on the loose. Let's go, Goose. That's what's in.
There is something about that, whatever that is, yeah, that is more like catchier, and I'm not saying that in a positive way, but like catchier in your brain than some of the all-time great songs. Like that will get stuck in your brain before Thriller.
That's what's in.
Yeah, and it was a bunch of middle-aged Padres fans, right? It wasn't even an official barbershop quartet or guys with any apparent
Clearly
singing
not.
Talent.
Bryce gonna lose, and Manny's gonna cruise.
The worst part about it is you think they're not being ironic.
They were not being ironic.
Right.
No. Yeah, definitely not.
This was just like, hey, guys.
Oh, there was a bit of a wink.
Let's go, Goose.
I watched the video last year because I love it so much. I was like, these guys are really serious.
It felt serious. Maybe they're just great actors. They really sold it. We're going to talk to some WWE superstars coming in the next hour because SummerSlam is happening this weekend. And sometimes you just got to sell it, you know? They know what we're talking about.
That's maybe one of the most famous fan videos of the last decade.
That's what's it.
I think the CEO and the woman he got caught with, as far as not sports fan, but a fan of a band.
I was thinking sports fan, but yeah, that's
like crowd. Yeah.
This isn't even a crowd video. This was like
backyard or something.
Yeah, there was like, oh, we're talking to Padres fans.
I thought that was outside the stadium, like before
the
game.
The stadium.
I think
it
that's what
been.
It was. Yeah.
I don't think it was. I watched this video recently. It was like a morning show. It was like, oh, we're talking to some Padres fans here, and this rap group says that they're, you know, really excited about the Padres.
Nobody called them a rap group.
Oh my gosh, you guys gotta find that clip.
That's what's in.
Maybe me. I got some producers.
I was gonna say, maybe that's a you thing.
I would argue my Philadelphia Eagles have the most famous fan of the moment. I mean, Gilly is like taking over the entire media industry.
Yeah.
And he kind of came up the same way with these funny fan celebrations.
He's a small guy, wears one of those giant hats.
Yeah. And there are all these videos of him hanging around like some suburban neighborhood dancing after the Eagles would win a game. And now I see him on like First Take. I don't know. He's everywhere.
Not even in Philadelphia. He's out there in Bucks County.
Yeah, it was the weirdest thing. You're probably right. The Padres song is the one that jumps to mind, but there's probably a lot of fan sort of musical things that we don't know about.
We asked a question earlier this week. Do you like celebrity fans of your team? Not the celebrities, but guys who become celebrities because they're such big fans. Like
Fireman Ed.
Fireman Ed is one.
The Jets.
The Eagles guy who paints himself all silver and he's got the green mohawk. Yeah.
The Chiefs have that singer. What's her name?
Taylor Swift.
Yo, Taylor Swift.
I was going to say Chiefsaholic was probably more their guy, he's serving 20 to life right now. Know.
He has a documentary on Netflix, so maybe that's not where we want to go.
Yeah. Yikes. And the poll was overwhelmingly no.
Yeah.
I was surprised by that because it's just like the most recognizable fan from your fan base. Not like Bradley Cooper is an Eagles fan. Or Spike Lee is a Knicks fan, yeah. This is like a regular person who just becomes a super fan.
Yeah, like Marlins man.
Yeah, Marlins man. People did not like this.
I think, by the way, back to the previous topic.
Yeah.
You should be able to jump on the Padres bandwagon with me.
You're never going to win with this one.
But I think that there is this sentiment to root against the Dodgers and the Yankees. The evil empire-ness of it all. And I think the Padres are making a message to baseball. Like, we're not just going to let them by all the players, which is funny because there are other high payroll teams, but I like a team that's in a city that's not huge that wants to be right there with the Dodgers. I think that's admirable.
I think the Met fan does not have any love right now for the Padres still, especially after the wild card series a few years ago when Joe Musgrove's ear was shining bright like a diamond.
Yeah, if you can possibly meet in the postseason before the championship, whether that's the Super Bowl, World Series, you know, Stanley Cup Final, whatever it is, I don't think you can root for a team in the same conference or division or any of that stuff.
But did you not root for the Cubs in 2016?
No.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, maybe it moved for the story when they finally got to the World Series, but that's no, because I root for another NL team. So if you're just talking Maggie the fan, then
but
absolutely not.
But, go, Cubs, go! For example, you're a massive Bills fan, and take that out of a second. Wouldn't you be happy if the Lions broke their Super Bowl drought?
That's AFC to NFC, though.
Yeah, no. Like, if they're not playing the Bills, yeah, fine. But if they meet the Bills in the Super Bowl and then the Lions win, I'm going to be like, oh, look at those Lions. Like, no, I'm going to feel bad.
Rawr.
So, but in week 6,
I can appreciate it. And
you can't be happy if the Lions are 15-2. You don't know. It's an unknown whether they're going to face your team. I think you can root for other teams, and even despite your team.
Okay, this might seem like semantics. I could think that a league is better when X team is good. Like, I do think that the NFL is better when the Raiders are good. I think that's cool. I mean, people like it when the Raiders are a thing.
Does anyone even remember that? It was so long ago.
Take me to the guard.
And by the way, every metric says that's not true because the NFL exploded in the mid-2000s and the Raiders had already lost it.
Oh, I'm just saying, I think it's better when the Raiders are good. I like it when the Packers are a thing. This is outside of any fandom I have. I just think it's good for the sport.
Yeah, no, I know what you
Knicks.
Mean.
Oh, the Knicks. I know you want me to say that, Manny.
But I think you could, there's a Cinderella. Like, you know, everyone loves to see the college basketball, college football, the Cinderella. Well, really, college basketball. I think you can root for teams. Say, for example, I'm a Villanova fan because they're from Philadelphia. But I'm definitely rooting for every Cinderella in the tournament. I love that story.
Well, that's a little bit different. That's when you, you know, jump on bandwagons. And everyone does that. That's not a baseball season.
You are pretty adamant, too, because I asked a question the other day. If Josh Allen left the Bills to, say, the Rams late in his career, would you follow him fandom-wise? You're like, nope. Because every Patriots fan I knew was rooting for the Bucs. Every single one. With Tom Brady went there.
They already had 6 Super Bowls with the guy. So, you know, maybe he had done all he could do for them.
We need to get you a Super Bowl ring so you can just appreciate things.
That'd be great. If you could make that happen, it would be fantastic. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. We're scheduled to have some WWE superstars come into the office in the next hour. EJ and I will be going to SummerSlam this weekend.
Nice.
I know. And along with Anthony Gallo, we are all going to be headed out to MetLife Stadium to watch at least one night of this and do some fun social media
videos.
Gallo's
a moron.
Why wasn't I invited?
You were invited.
I know, I'm just kidding.
You've got a big thing.
Okay, I made an accident this morning. I missed some. that's not wrong. I'm wearing a Bret Hart sweatshirt. Total accident. Basically, I couldn't get into my room this morning. There was chaos in their house, and there was the only one that was in the downstairs closet. Is this going to offend anybody who's coming into the studio today? Are they all pro Bret Hart? Is this good?
No. Bret Hart's got 100 approval rating.
Okay.
Nobody dislikes Bret Hart.
Wait, what chaos was going on at your house at 4 o'clock in the morning?
I'd love to find that out. We got like a minute left.
Is there anyone who's even awake?
My 14-year-old slept from 5 o'clock at night to 11 o'clock. Took a 6-hour nap.
Ugh.
Then it was just up in the middle of the night, slammed the door. My wife punches me. She's like, the door slammed. She's like, go downstairs and check out what's going on. Run outside. It was just my daughter was up in the middle of the night because she slept all day.
You hero.
Yeah, it got scary.
Pearl with a golf club. Who is that?
It's Lucy, Dad. Relax.
All right.
And hence my Bret Hart sweatshirt.
Coming up, who's going to have the best sophomore campaign?